Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Dan McNeil, Danny Parkins.
Oh, here we go!
Afternoons on the Score.
Earl Thomas is in a little bit of trouble on the home front.
Had a gun pointed at his head by an angry woman, and, you know, unless
by
there
his
was
wife.
An under... Yeah, the wife. Yes, it was his wife.
His wife at the time is there.
He and his brother were in bed with some other ladies, and they were discovered at a nearby Airbnb they had rented, apparently, and, it's an ugly scene. And his wife had some thoughts for the girls he was with on her way out the door, on their way out the door. You hoes!
Is this the superintendent? Yes, I want you to know, sir, that you have a whole living in the law. Rusty! Janice Rusty, do you hear me?
Group sex in an Airbnb with his brother, and his wife found out where he was by his Snapchat account.
Well, as you know, I'm not on Snapface and all that, so I don't really get those.
This was Earl Thomas's explanation of the incident.
Just keep us in y'all prayers, and stuff like this happens, bro. You know, we try to live the best life we possibly can, but sometimes it don't go as planned.
It's beautifully put.
I just love the casual nature of stuff like this happens.
It happens.
That is such an awesome explanation. If I tell you the story on the front end, and then your explanation is
stuff like this happens, bro.
Technically, he's right.
Sometimes you think you have true love, and then you catch the early flight home from San Diego, and a couple of nude people jump out of your bathroom blindfolded like a damn magic show, ready to your girlfriend, and it stops.
It stops right there.
And it continues right here, because I think what my friend Mitch is trying to say is that true love is blind.
Yo! Saddle up! Lock and load!
The McNeil and Parkins Show. Afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
It is Mac and Parkins on The Score, and we appreciate you hanging out with us on this Friday, our 35th day of Scoring Team.
It indeed is Scoring Day. Scoring Team Day, Frank Thomas, Tony Esposito, both Halls of Famers who grace this city. A lot of good 35s in our city's history. Neil Anderson of the Bears. So happy Scoring Team 35.
Number 35, Frank Thomas.
Your 35th, my 33rd. So that's 7 weeks of it consecutively, and probably at least four more. It appears to be the case. Hey, you know, regarding the opening ceremonies there with Earl Thomas, several of our listeners got to us yesterday because we talked about the story for, I don't know, 10 minutes or so-ish, and neither of us paid any attention to the fact that he was in bed with other women and his brother. Several of our texters thought that was curious, and I thought their text messages noticing that were curious. I mean, I've not done that sort of thing, but if I were going to do it, I don't think my brother's presence would dissuade me from it as opposed to a friend. I mean, what would the difference be if you're all getting naked, brother or otherwise, right?
Well, I don't know about that.
I mean, you're not going to be touching each other. I don't assume so. I mean, it would still be, in my case, heterosexual sex. I found that observation to be a little bit, really? How would that be different from your buddy if you guys are going to do the deeds with other ladies? You know, how is that different? Is that an issue for you as well? Do you see their point?
I think that it's an extra level of brotherhood and keeping it in the family. That a level of comfort that is maybe abnormal.
As opposed to you and me taking on a couple of ladies, right?
Well, you know, I don't know. Like, it's a detail worth noting in a story that is odd. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. Okay. I'll accept that majority opinion. I probably would think the opposite, but that's me. My brother and I are close.
You're very close. Yeah.
Yeah. I've seen him naked before, so he also has seen me naked before, so.
In adulthood?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, I'm just asking.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you know, a lot of that's not something that I think, I don't know if it's worth being a poll question, but, like, have you seen your sibling naked after the age of 18?
Oh, no.
I think that's coming back. I think the majority of people are saying no to that one.
Look, the other day I did a Twitter poll question and it involved Bears defensive backs in the 60s. So why would this safeties? Why would this not merit a poll question? We're the show that once asked, what's a better film, Citizen Kane or Con Air?
Yeah.
Yeah,
because to suggest Citizen Kane is a better film than Con Air is ludicrous.
Okay. I didn't hear it.
Guys, something that I think fits our show perfectly just came across on Twitter. Kay Adams is apparently doing an Instagram Live with our friend Justin Tucker, and he's going to be performing karaoke, and she wants you to name some songs that Justin Tucker could perform. You have any for us, Mac?
Oh, let me...
Oh my!
Chuck Berry or anything?
Yes. Sledgehammer. Sledgehammer by Peter Gabriel. It's the first thing that comes to mind. Low Rider.
Wow. I love Kay Adams. I'll just say that.
I do too.
She's a fan of the show. Thank you, Shep. Dynamite drop in.
This
buddy.
Is going great.
Max talking about Twitter polls. We're talking about music a segment ago. We're talking about certain things that Justin Tucker might have a strength in.
He is a trained singer, right? Isn't he a singer? Isn't he an opera level singer? I think.
I have no idea.
Yeah, I thought he was one of those with many talents. We know what a couple of them are. He can punt.
I guess.
He can kick, and he can hang out.
He can't hang out. He's
so here comes Tucker.
Modern day Morton Anderson.
It's a pleasure watching this man kick a football.
Yes, he is.
Multi-talented guy and a real character. Opera singer, among many other interesting exploits. Yes. And could that be more down the middle?
Sure.
As John Harbaugh says, he's a performer.
These are majestic blasts.
That is an excellent description. That's terrific.
Very majestic. Oh, God.
We apologize to all of you at home.
This is a perfect end to a Friday show. I agree. This is perfect. We have not spent any time, Mac. Your guy Ryan Pace, he has spoken.
He's my uncle.
he speaks, and when he speaks, people listen. Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy on the Bears schedule. We will start with Ryan Pace on Bears All Access.
Looking at it right now, Jeff, as we're talking, I think, you know, you said it right off. We start off division opponent on the road in Detroit. You know, that's always a tough game, and then I see we've got, four national games, which is great. Then there's that stretch really at the end of the year where five out of the final seven games are NFC North opponents. And, you know, I think our bye comes at a good time. Week 11, that's a good time for a bye. So, yeah, I like it. Every year the league changes so much. So it's hard to predict, you know, where these teams are going to be at different stages. But, you know, every year it's challenging. I do like the late bye. You know, I know we have a tough stretch right there with a bunch of division opponents at the end. You know, naturally, I kind of look for those warm weather teams coming to, you know, Soldier Field late in the year when it's cold. I think that's a good thing. But overall, you know, I think it all pieces together really well this year.
Hey, Ryan, Jim Miller here. Thanks for joining us today. And as you mentioned, every year it's its own entity. You know, we can say Detroit, yeah, it's a team we know. They're in division. They've got a lot of different moving parts now. Drafting Jeff Okuda, they bring in, obviously, the other corner from the Atlanta Falcons. And then even later in the schedule, when you look at Indy, they're a different club with Phillip Rivers. Tampa Bay with Tom Brady there. And, I mean, how much of a deep dive do you do and does the staff do already as you see the schedule come out and you see what you'll be facing this year?
100%, Jim. You said it's different every year. Detroit, you know, they had a really good draft. I know they've made some changes on defense as well, just schematically. And look, the Giants are a new staff. You know, the Colts with a new quarterback, Tampa with a new quarterback, Carolina's a new staff. So there's change in our league every year. So it's unpredictable how some of these teams are going to be. I think that's where our advanced scouts come into play. They're already doing work on our opponents. So, you know, it all goes hand in hand with our coaching staff. But, yeah, there's a lot of unknowns going into the season, but I think that's what makes it exciting too.
You look at the big-name quarterbacks that are coming to Soldier Field, and in your case, having been with Drew Brees in New Orleans, you never know when the last game is going to be in Chicago for a guy like that.
For sure. You got so much respect for all these quarterbacks, and especially those guys where they're at this stage in their career. So it's an honor and a respect to play against them. But hey, that's where we load up on defense and get after it. So, you know, I'm excited about our defense in 2020 and especially our pass rush, and we'll need it against those good quarterbacks.
It's Ryan Pace with Bears All Access. Anything stand out to you, Mac?
Well, I laughed out loud once. He's a believer in bear weather, and that tickles me. Yeah,
laughing out loud.
Like to get those southern teams up here late in the year. It doesn't happen this year because, as he mentioned, he's got a bunch of divisional games. But too bad they didn't get Tom Brady up here in December. Bear weather. One of the greatest myths in Chicago sports history, bear weather. But he's buying into it, and of course he's excited about the prospect of seeing the New Orleans Saints here again, even though they kicked their ass last year with a backup quarterback. And nothing that jumps out at me. How about you?
No, I mean, like, he's generic GM guy.
Yes. He right? is solid the- vanilla.
Yeah, that's what he is. And not even like Ben and Jerry's vanilla, where it's like, man, what do they do with this vanilla that makes it so special? It's just store brand vanilla.
Yep. No bean speckles, no egg. Yeah, you're right. I agree with that. That's just a regular old vanilla.
Yeah, I will say it's a fun schedule. It's going to be fun. Deshaun Watson, Drew Brees, Tom Brady, all coming to Soldier Field.
Yes.
Four nationally televised games, five of the last seven being division games. It's a fun schedule.
We waited forever, and we weren't happy about it last year to get some noon games, right? I mean, they had a 7:20 out of the chute. They had a Monday nighter in Washington early. We couldn't get the Bears in a noon arrangement early
right.
last football season. And for those of us who prefer the noon games, This is our year, because there's a bunch of them and they're winnable games too. And I do agree with Pace. There's no really way of telling. You just looking at the schedule. We talked about that earlier today as well. You can't tell. You don't know who's healthy at the time. You don't know what the weather's going to be. All kinds of things swing that. It is a fun schedule, and I love the fact they're not playing on Thanksgiving. That delights me. It really does. It's first time in a little while. I think more often than not, it seems like the last 7 or 8 years, we've had at least half of those where the Bears have played on Thanksgiving. Not this year, thankfully.
All right, let's move on to Mitch Trubisky, Tanny. There's only so much schedule talk I can take. This is Ryan Pace on Bears All Access. This is the first time he has spoken about his quarterback after not picking up, Mitch's fifth-year option.
Yeah, Jeff, I think, you know, look, every team in the NFL, there's dates, you know, you got to make decisions by. And, you know, internally, when this happens, we make those decisions. And we've always had the approach where we're honest and we're truthful with our players and with our staff. And, look, then we move on and we get to work. And that's where it's at. And Mitch gets it. And everyone's competing. Everyone's focusing on better results. That's the entire team. That, you know, starts with me and everybody. And, I think, you know, we believe in Mitch. That doesn't change. You know, Jeff, I think you can point to Kyle Fuller as a great example of a player, you know, that didn't get his option exercised. And I think we would say it's worked out well for him and for us. So honestly, we feel like we've increased competition throughout our roster. And again, that's our responsibility as a personnel department.
I think that that is the exact thing they should be selling to Mitch Trubisky.
That is what they told Mitch Trubisky.
Right.
There wasn't a doubt. When I saw the quotes this morning on Twitter, that was one of the highlights of the interview. That's exactly what my thought was. That's what they told Trubisky. Hey, it worked out for Kyle, right? Kyle's
right.
An all-pro. Kyle's playing at a high level. He proved his, you know what, it's going to work for you too. You just keep your head down and keep grinding, kid, and keep hydrating. Yeah, there's not a doubt in my mind that's how he played it with Trubisky.
Hey, he got paid, just quite simply. Hey, mm-hmm. It doesn't mean you're not going to be in our future plans. It doesn't mean you're not going to make a lot of money. Kyle Fuller is in our future plans, and we paid him a lot of money. So it's a very easy sell. Obviously, there are differences between the positions, and there's only one quarterback on a field as opposed to multiple corners, and they traded a fourth-round pick for a guy who'd won a Super Bowl who his head coach had coached before. So there's obviously many differences that they will not tell Mitch Trubisky, but that is how they should be selling it to him. Let's hear Matt Nagy on Mitch Trubisky, this from NFL Network.
You talk about that chemistry, and you also brought up competition. Of course, right now with the virtual offseason workouts, you can't really have that great on-field competition. But Matt, of course, you know, the big question mark going in for you guys, you bring in Nick Foles, you've got Mitch Trubisky there. Just what is your thought as to how you're going to approach the competition between those two once you actually get on the field?
Sure, yeah. Well, to start, you know, we'll see where everything goes here in regards to training camp and how that goes. We're going to have to be really efficient as coaches in making sure that all the players on our team understand the amount of competition that we have going on. We keep using the word healthy competition. And so obviously everyone's focused in with Mitchell and with Nick. And the guys have been absolutely great. Mitch has been really, really good in all of our Zoom meetings. He's in a really good place right now. I just really appreciate the way he's handled everything. That's not easy. But when we're real with this and we're all human, it's not easy. And so he's been tested, but he's really looking forward to the challenge. And he's embracing the open, healthy competition part of that. And the same with Nick. So it's going to be we're honest with each other in this whole process. And if you're honest, then it's a lot easier for these guys to just go out and play. And that's what we're going to do across the board at every position.
I think he's honest in that he's going to have a competition. I don't know that they're being honest when he says that it's truly an open competition. I just don't believe that.
Yeah, I wish he would be willing to be honest and tell us what he has in mind more specifically. What does an open competition on a Matt Nagy head coach team look like? Is it going to be a quarterly trade-off in a preseason game? How much of the rep distribution is going to the incumbent versus the newcomer?
I think they've said so far on that it'll be even snaps in terms of reps, but Mitch gets the first ones. I think that's all that's been shared so far about training camp, and that both will play in the preseason, obviously, but that's a long way away. We don't even know if there will be a training camp or there will be a preseason.
No,
which is
but we
part
need
of
your
why...
money for the tickets right now.
Yeah, right. They will take your money, though. I saw from Darren Revell on Twitter, not a lot of individual game tickets sold on the ticket sites last night.
You got any tickets laying around? Let me know.
Shocking. Who could have seen that coming, that people were not prepared to shell out hundreds of dollars for NFL games that may happen but most likely won't happen with fans in the stands months and months from now?
Why can't Nagy just let us in a little bit more than what he did there? There's no harm in that. Outline a little bit more specifically what this competition looks like. That's all. You don't have to cast any judgments on who does what better than the other. Tell us what it means. What is an open competition? And then he goes off and talks about competition at every position and diffuses the question. He ducks the question again there. He doesn't say anything, really.
No, he doesn't, and the football people mostly don't. I will be surprised if they don't. I think the decision has basically already been made by Matt Nagy, so I don't think he's going to mind speaking fairly candidly about the competition, in air quotes, if they get to training camp and there's some sort of normalcy. Like, if we actually get to a point where there's training camp and the media is there and there are daily updates and press conferences, I think you will be satisfied. Maybe I'm okay. Completely naive to that,
yeah.
But I actually think you'll be satisfied because I don't think he's going to care too much about Mitch Trubisky's fragile sensibilities because I think he thinks it's going to go to Nick Foles.
Boy, I sure hope that's the case, that part of what he did in year two is parked and he moves on from that and there's not a massage of egos going on. Yeah, and as much as anything, it's what he does with it. I want to be satisfied with what he does with distribution of playing time in preseason games, if there are preseason games, and fair amount of reps for each quarterback with the first group. Don't throw one out there with your second unit in a second consecutive game. If you're going to give one quarterback the entire time with your first group in game one, give that same amount of time to the other quarterback with the first group the next time out. Make it – that's what would satisfy me, seeing an absolutely – you're not going to be able to get it snap for snap, but get it as close as you can for a handful of series in these preseason games so you find out what Foles has got that maybe Mitch doesn't have, like an ability to hit a receiver, like being able to see the field. We know Trubisky's better running with the football than him, but let's see if Foles grabs this system that he supposedly knows and it clicks with his new teammates. Establish some chemistry right out of the chute. Throwing that pill downfield to Teddy Ginn. Oh,
let me
man.
Oh, I can't wait. Can't wait for Nick Foles to Ted Ginn. That is a 6-10 combination written all over it.
You stop that negativity. Bear down, Danny.
Bear down. Let's tag in Shep. Shep, I'm told you need to spike the ball with regards to something in Mitch Trubisky here.
Yeah, it's in regards to Mitch Trubisky, in regards to something that came up earlier this week. Since we're all encompassing, it's the last hour of the week, and people are getting ready for their weekends, and get ready for episode 7 and 8 coming up on Sunday with the Bulls documentary, The Last Dance. Something that came up on our show earlier this week, there was a star from that documentary that was on, I'll save it. Rich Eisen, take it away.
How many episodes will The Last Dance of Mitchell Trubisky be? What do you got for me?
Rich,
how many episodes?
That's so cold. Rich, when this comes up, and I want to come back to talk to you about
yes.
whatever happens, whenever it happens with Trubisky and yes. Foles. And I now feel bad for Mitch Trubisky. I mean, he's got a coach who doesn't want to coach him. His coach was in Kansas City when Patrick Mahomes was a rookie and he coached him. He wants to coach Patrick Mahomes. He doesn't want to coach Trubisky. And now Trubisky's being taken down by his coach and GM who won't back him, really. Not really. I think this is awful. I mean, Trubisky, I never thought they should. It was a bad deal to trade up to get Trubisky. Just take him. Just take him when you take him. You had to pick. And it wouldn't have put all this pressure on him, and it wouldn't have recast him in a way to have people talk constantly about what the capital expended to get him. But what's happening with Trubisky now, man, it's just wrong. It's just wrong, Rich. I don't care what people say. I know all the executives will defend other executives. It's just wrong to treat Trubisky this way. It's wrong to do it publicly. And you know what? If they coach him hard, to use a Michael Jordan phrase, if they coach him hard and he's not up to it, then let him go. C'est la vie. But they haven't done that. They haven't done that. This guy doesn't want to coach him. I know that from players who were in Kansas City at the time. He didn't want to coach him. So he wants to coach somebody else. So just be honest and say that. But I'm now like the last person defending Mitch. I just want Mitch Trubisky to have a fair chance. I think there's more talent in him than apparently they do. And they moved up. And they moved heaven and earth to trade up ahead of Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson. They made that move, and now they can't. I can't stand when people won't own what they did. And that's what I feel coming out of Chicago. That's what I feel coming out of the coach and the GM. Own what you did. Don't blame it all on this kid.
There you go. I don't think I have to say a whole heck of a lot else other than that. Does that sound like a guy that paid any attention to the Bears, that's paid any attention to Mitch Trubisky the last couple of years? I think what was just said right there pretty much speaks to everything that I said about the man after his appearance on last Sunday's episode of The Last Dance. That sounds like a guy that's totally in tune with the Chicago Bears, if you ask me.
Yeah, that was a bad sports thought.
It was a bad take. However, there was something in there that I think is worth chewing on. He's contending there were players on the Chiefs roster before Nagy got here who got wind that Nagy didn't like Mitch Trubisky. That's the only thing that I found to be interesting. The rest of it is just flat-out nonsense. I don't agree. The Bears have not done any disservice to Trubisky. They've not been unfair to him. They've done nothing but bend over to accommodate his fragile ego over the last couple of years. But if there is something to that, that Nagy was under his breath while still in Kansas City before he packed his bags to move here over this job, and he's mumbling to players, and that gets back to Wilbon, that's interesting to me, absolutely.
It is. It seems very unlikely.
I don't know. You know, there could be a misinterpretation from a player in what Matt Nagy said to him, and that gets passed along, and it's erroneous or misinterpreted. But
it just makes no logical sense, because Ryan Pace is the guy that traded up to get him. What is Ryan Pace going to forever be attached to? Mitch Trubisky. Why would Ryan Pace not want Mitch Trubisky to succeed? He's putting two and two together and getting six. Like, what is he talking about?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think that is a unique spin. Poor Mitch has to deal
poor
with.
Poor Mitch
has to compete for his job after a really bad season. And you know what? He wasn't great the year before either.
No, he was. His quarterback rating was pretty good, but his actual production on the field was pedestrian, and he was carried by a desire to just make no mistakes because he had an awesome defense.
Right.
So some of those rating numbers were a bit inflated. Coming up next, I would contend this is the 5-year anniversary of the best Bulls moment since the dynasty years, and it leads to a story that is present day and not so great. It's Mac and Parker.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
On the score.
Remember when it's the lowest form of conversation.
Parkin Show brings you This Day in Chicago Bulls Playoff History.
Dunleavy looking, finds Rose. Rose trying to get open, fires away.
Bang! It's over! The Bulls win at the buzzer!
It still is a madhouse on Madison as Derrick Rose nails the three. And the Bulls take a 2-1 lead in this Eastern Conference semifinal.
That was This Day in Chicago Bulls Playoff History on the McNeil and Parkins Show on 670 The Score.
Happy fifth birthday to my favorite shot of Derrick Rose's Bulls career. You could argue that there's been better moments as Bulls fans since the dynasty years. Hell, winning the lottery, 1.7% chance to get Derrick Rose and draft the hometown kid is probably the right answer in terms of the franchise. Winning game one of the Eastern Conference Finals in 2011 over the Heat and LeBron and feeling like that team that was so likable with Tibbs and Dang and Noah was actually going to go to an NBA Finals. But that the bank shot over the Cavs 5 years ago today just has a special place in my heart because I love Derrick Rose so much, and he had already battled the injuries. And so this is 2015, and you didn't know if they were going to have any real highs again with him. And, you know, it ended up being for naught, and the Bulls take the 2-1 lead in the semis, and LeBron comes storming back. And, you know, they couldn't ever get over the mountain that was LeBron, but Bulls fans knew what that was like. Plenty of people couldn't get over the mountain that was Michael Jordan. But Derrick Rose hitting that shot, the buzzer beater at home, and then the stoic celebration, just Joakim Noah picks him up, but he doesn't pump his fist, doesn't lose any emotion. Like, Tibbs is going crazy. Mm-hmm. Tibbs never goes, I mean, he would go crazy mad, but he didn't go crazy with celebration. Like, Tibbs is going nuts, everyone's going nuts, but Derrick Rose just cool, calm, and collected through everything, which was his embodiment as a basketball player. Didn't ever think they were going to get that high of a high again with Derrick Rose with all of the injuries, so arguably my favorite moment of his as a Bulls 5 years ago today.
With all of the events that have circled around the Bulls since that shot and since that win, with coaching changes, with bad free agent signings, with Jim Boylan and the uprising among the players right after he got here and the possibility of a grievance being filed, and then finally, with recent changes, it feels to me so much longer than 5 years ago.
Yeah.
I was stunned when I saw your text this morning. I'm like, that was only five. That feels like many, many years ago now.
Well, it's the last great Bulls moment.
Yeah.
There hasn't been a great Bulls moment since. You know, Jimmy Butler had some moments, but there has not been
signature.
Put him in the Hall of Fame!
When they spectated and watched the Warriors hit all those threes, that was memorable.
That was fun. I was there.
I know.
Kobe White, they've had moments, but like moments that you'll remember 20 years into the future? No. But I will remember that Derrick Rose shot for forever. And I know that seems ridiculous, the Eastern Conference semifinals, but he had been through so much, and Bulls fans had been through so much with him, and it was against LeBron, and like you were dreaming. You were dreaming that they were actually going to do it at that point. Of course, that was a fool's errand, but it was remarkable. You're right. It feels like it was a lifetime ago in the Bulls news cycle, though, which brings us to today and Joe Cowley. Headline in the Sun-Times, several key Bulls players making Jim Boylan's future as coach cloudy. Okay, that sounds good. There's not a power struggle going on between ownership and the new front office on the future of Boylan, but there is a difference of opinion, and several key Bulls players have made the case to move on from their coach, according to a source. You say, well, why would it matter what they think? That seems very old Bulls, and here's the problem. This is the third paragraph of the story. The Sun-Times has learned that things are staying vague for a reason. Ownership, as well as former vice president of basketball operations turned advisor John Paxson, would like Boylan back and have told the coach as much. The idea that Arturis Karnišovas and Mark Eversley have to be concerned about rocking the boat, as Cowley writes it, because they've made it clear that they'd like Boylan to come back, he should have full autonomy, and Cowley notes that he does technically, but that he should not be burdened with his first major personnel change that he will have to make. that he is going to be upsetting his bosses. And John Paxson's opinion should matter as much as my opinion, which is not at all.
You know, when we take that first big step in our careers, as Arturis Karnišovas has just done, as Mark Eversley has just done, his first chance to be a GM, you're willing to do things that you don't. Many people are willing to do things they don't believe in because they're still so damn grateful to have that first opportunity. And I certainly hope that's not what Karnišovas and Eversley are dealing with. Would that be just such a colossal mistake to go back and continue to let people who aren't supposed to be making those decisions make those decisions? And if Michael Reinsdorf and John Paxson love Jim Boylan, you got to park that, guys. If that's the case, you have got to trust these guys. You've just decided to go in a direction nobody thought you were going to take and make changes that were painful to you because you love Pax so much. Well, you got to let these guys do what you hired them to do, and I sure hope they have that opportunity. And if they continue, you know, if there is a salvageable last handful of games, you know, if you're going to let Jim Boylan finish the year and evaluate him along the way, I guess that's fair, and maybe he'll coach his way out of the job. But still, I think you run a risk of the team playing well under him for whatever reason, maybe better health than when we last saw them assembled. I don't know. And something emerges where you say, okay, we're gonna let him do it this year. All you're doing is retarding the progress of the organization and finding that. Now, if you don't have your guy, that's a different story. But if you've got a guy in mind and he's available, it doesn't really make much sense to me.
It's a story that hopefully is much ado about nothing. And Cowley notes what will ultimately be his undoing is his win percentage, and that players are telling Karnišovas and Eversley in their one-on-one calls the reviews are not great about Jim Boylan, because how could they be? And hopefully that will carry the day. But the whole point of all of this optimism that's around the Bulls right now is that there's fresh eyes, that it's the first time since Jerry Reinsdorf has owned the team that the person running the basketball operations was not a previous employee of the Bulls. There's no connection to the dynasty. There's nothing. And while we're spending time looking back with The Last Dance in episodes 7 and 8 this weekend, Bulls fans want to look forward. And I am sick and tired of reading about John Paxson's opinion and influence. It's just, it shouldn't exist anymore. And if it does,
he should not have an opinion on anything ever.
Not one that matters. It should not be one that matters. I'm sorry. That's why he stepped aside. And so this idea that this is a burden or could be a burden on Karnišovas, that's not what the good organizations do. It's just not. So I hope that this is much ado about nothing. And by the way, I have been the one who's said patience with when it happens with Boylan as long as it happens, because remember what this organization's reputation is with coaches around the league. Yep. From Vinny Del Negro to Tom Thibodeau to Fred Hoiberg, they don't normally leave saying a lot of nice things on their way out the door.
That's right.
So you fire the guy during a pandemic over a Zoom call when he signed a 3-year deal, like, that's probably not great within the coaching ranks. So wait till you can do it in person. Wait till you can watch him coach some practices. If he has to coach the last 15 games of this regular season, if they're going to play it, who cares? Like, you want to rebuild your reputation with players, with scouts, with the international community, with coaches. You want to rebuild your reputation with all of it. So treat Boylan right on your way out the door. I have no problem with that, just so long as that they're not worried about Jerry Reinsdorf and John Paxson's opinion.
Yeah, Michael Reinsdorf, all of them. You can't have enough of those opinions. You also give the NBA coaching fraternity the benefit of the doubt on already knowing what Jim Boylan is. So if they were to whack him, there might be a pretty good percentage of those guys who know that that's probably the right thing to do because he was overmatched. So
maybe.
And maybe it shows them an organization finally having a willingness to grow and bringing in new guys. They look, Jim Boylan's popped. They ate a last year of his contract. They got a new guy in to run the whole show. They got a new general manager. Maybe they're turning a corner here. So maybe it goes the other way. And I know, you're right. They're very protective of their own kind, for lack of a better phrase. But maybe they see it as a positive for the organization if they do the entire reshuffle. It's a possibility.
This segment is brought to you by Grand Appliance and TV. Grand Appliance has served Chicagoland since 1930 and remains committed to safely delivering and installing your essential appliances during these unprecedented times. Shop in-store, over the phone, or at grandappliance.com and get an additional 5% rebate on most appliance purchases.
He's Danny Parkins. I'm Danny Mac. We're about wrapped up for the week. I want to take just a minute, something very near and dear to me. I am more than anything a dad. That is what I regard to be the most important role I've ever had. I treasure that experience each and every day of my life. I love being a dad. Being a dad means more to me by far than anything. Number two, it's being a husband. Number three, it's being a brother. And I'm lucky to have a little brother out in Arizona with whom I'm very, very close. My sister and I have not enjoyed that same relationship, but the last couple of years with my dad getting sick not too long ago, our bond has strengthened. My sister is 61, and she tested positive for COVID-19, and she's not a real strong person physically, and I'm really, really worried about her. So for those of you who are people of prayer, I would be extremely grateful if you can think of my family just for a second, if you don't mind. The well wishes certainly are very appreciated for those of you who knew about this and got to me on a personal level today. But my sister, 61 years old, hospitalized, testing positive for the Rona, as Shep likes to refer to it. And I'm certainly hoping for the best. She's compromised from a respiratory standpoint. So fingers crossed she's going to be able to do this. She did a lot of good things for me when I was a younger guy. And one of those things was pass along classic rock to me. And going through her records was a great introduction. She's a huge Hendrix fan. I'll play this for my sister Tammy and wish her nothing but the best. McNeil and Parkins will wrap the week in just a few minutes on Sports Radio 670 The Score with Hendrix.
There must be some kind of way out of here. Say the joker to the thief. There's too much confusion. I can't get no relief. Businessman there, drink my wine. Plowman, dig my earth. None will level on the mine. Nobody of it is worth.
That'll do it.
Thank you very much for hanging out with us all week and all month. And as these shows and the days just blend together, we appreciate it. And I'm happy to announce that Entercom Chicago and The Score, we're really proud to help Chicago CEO COVID-19 Coalition. It's the city of Chicago is calling, and together we can answer. On May 16th at 5 p.m., you can join the Chicago CEO COVID-19 Coalition in a celebration of our city's strength, togetherness, and love. And we need your help to raise money for the critical efforts of our local organizations. First responders, food, homelessness, personal protective equipment, community, and mental health. Chicago's own Dion Cole will host the special evening of musical performances, Chicago-born celebrity guests, and local heroes. So rise up, Chicago, for your neighbor, for your city, for your home. You can log on to chicc.org to donate, and for more information, that's chicc.org. That's coming up May 16th at 5 p.m. Coming up after us, Mac, the final B&B show, airing in all of its glory right here on 670 The Score.
Looking forward to catching some of their final show on Monday. We will have plenty on episode 7 and 8 of The Last Dance. On Tuesday's show, Chicago actor Joe Mantegna will join us. Can't wait for that.
And Tanny, tell him who's coming on Wednesday.
Of Sopranos fame, the great Stephen Chirippa, a.k.a. Bobby Bacala.
Oh.
Salted cod. We taught the world how to eat.
So excited. So excited.
It's con!
It's going to be amazing. Herb Lawrence, thank you so much for all the help that you've been giving us during these quarantine shows. We greatly appreciate it. Nick Shepkowski is our executive producer. Today, my mom was on for Mother's Day. Thank you guys for surprising me with that. That was a lot of fun. 3:30.
Sweet Patty.
Sweet
Patty.
Check it out.
She
thank
nice.
You, Mom. Love you. And Chris Bogosian from the Chicago Tribune to discuss the tough situation that the newsroom is going through right now at the Tribune, thanks to the pandemic and their ownership group. Chris Tannehill, thank you for making us sound better than we are each and every day. Guys, have a good weekend. It's always fun working with you. For Dan McNeil, I'm Danny Parkins. We are McNeil and Parkins. This is The Score.
Hey, Twitter world, yours truly. Well, it's been quite a week, you know.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.